T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
And the New England Patriots drop to 10-2. The final score in Houston, Texans 28, Patriots 22.
Yeah, it's just, you know, I think we're all trying to do, you know, it's a good job out there.
I'll have a blue Christmas.
Dale Arnold.
Flowing like a butterfly, getting ready to sting like AB.
Rich Key.
Pastrnak ahead, the drive scores! 25 for Pastrnak!
Santa Claus is coming to town.
Dale and Keith, middays.
Merry Christmas.
Oh, boy.
On the WEEI Sports Radio Network.
Fourth and final hour, Dale and Keith, Sports Radio WEEI. It is a Patriots Monday. Jermaine Wiggins is in the house, as he is every Monday. I was just telling these guys, ESPN tweeted this out a few minutes ago. The last time Nick Saban and Bill Belichick lost in the same weekend was November 5th and 6th, 2011. 8 years ago was the last time they both lost in the same weekend. And I will say there's a certain entertainment value for me personally in watching Nick Saban melt down on the sidelines.
Yeah, he was having a nutty.
Oh.
He was losing it a little bit.
Well, that was because of that. Did you see that horrible...
The substitution issue and the 12 men on the field. And
like there was the call that went against them. What the hell was that call the officials made? I can't remember what the call was. There was a horrible call that went against him. And you're like, wait a second. What the hell is going on?
Yeah, right? He was all fired up.
Yeah.
Speaking of Belichick, do you guys... Now, obviously, after a loss, he is upset. He doesn't lose often, and when he does, I don't care. I am definitely one of these people. I don't care about sportsmanship. It doesn't affect me at all. Do you think he really hates Bill O'Brien, or just because they lost, he gave him like an Eric Mangini like handshake at the end of the game?
I saw footage of them before the game during warm-ups, and it seemed like they were, you know,
but that was like,
he didn't look like he didn't like him.
And what added to it to me was Tom Brady had the same thing. Tom Brady went up to Bill O'Brien for half a second.
Shook his hand and kept it moving.
And you're like, all right, at least pissed after a loss. And then they flashed to him having a whole conversation with Deshaun Watson and just like talking it up with Deshaun Watson. I'm like, do they hate Bill O'Brien because of like the Nick Caserio stuff and the Jack Easterby stuff? And like, is there more of a, I bring up Mangini because he's the one guy that left and was like, oh, that guy is done with the organization.
Is Bill O'Brien on that level?
Did you buy anything? Did you put any stock in what was reported out of Houston this weekend? Is that the Texans have announced they will not hire a general manager in 2020 either.
I didn't buy that at all.
We talked about that Sunday on NFL Sunday. Ian Rappaport had that. And
it was all, like they put that the day that they were playing the Patriots. Like, come on. Like, I think that was definitely just tossing it out there. Now, I wouldn't be surprised, though, if they like some of the moves that they have made this year. They've made a bunch. You know, they traded away Jadeveon Clowney. They brought in Laremy Tunsil, Kenny Stills, Duke Johnson, Carlos Hyde. So they've been pretty active. And if they end up winning that division, I wouldn't be shocked if Bill O'Brien just has a ton of say. And maybe they bring in somebody else and they kind of work with Bill O'Brien and do that. I don't know if it would be Caserio. I still think ultimately it is Caserio.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know. It's hard to judge it because after a loss, it's easy for Belichick just to be really short out there. But just I got the sense that they have more ill will towards Bill O'Brien than I thought.
I don't think so. I think it's when you see Brady, he's really quick with most coaches, and he does have usually...
Yeah, but most coaches aren't your former offensive coordinator.
Yeah, well...
Did they show guys at all going up and saying anything with Romeo Crennel?
I didn't see one way or the other.
He's been gone a long time.
Yeah.
Right.
But those who do know him have always loved him, it seems.
True. I did not see that.
See, I don't think
saw
it's
Brady
too much
with
of that.
Watson and then the quick stuff with O'Brien.
Right. I don't think there's too much of the coaching handshaking goal. Like, there is the players, you know. The players always make it a point. The coaches are kind of like, you know, They go about, unless it's the head coaches, they go about their business and this, that, and the other. Yeah, you might run up to a coach and give him a what's up. I know we saw, who was it that was hugging Julian Edelman? The Eagles coach was Eagles. Doug Peterson was, you know, hugging him and had like a, you know, a good little embrace with him. But I think most of the time it's
just. But not only this, this was super icy and it was.
Well, the whole tampering thing.
That's what I'm saying.
The Patriots thought they were. They thought Easterby was here at the ring ceremony trying to recruit Nick Caserio. And
so Brady goes up to Bill O'Brien at least and it's a quick, like, drive-by handshake.
Yes.
Belichick is walking past O'Brien.
Yeah,
O'Brien,
Billy O'Brien
has to
go
turn
find him.
In a pivot and tap grab him, on the shoulder. Tap him, and then he gets a 1 second handshake. But Belichick would have just stormed right through midfield and never would have shook his
hand. I think there's a little bit more of that with Belichick than there is with Brady.
File tampering charges. With Brady. So Belichick they probably doesn't love him.
Yeah. Can't be thrilled with him.
Yeah, I mean, I don't see that as
cold.
An issue. He kind of does that with. It seems like
he's like, hey, Bill.
You know what would be interesting to see what his handshake was like with Josh McDaniels when he was in Denver.
Yeah, we could go pull that one up. When you know he beat him.
Remember when Josh was like a kid winning a high school championship at the end of that game?
Oh my God!
It's out on the field jumping around.
And see what that handshake was like.
Belichick shakes Bill O'Brien's hand like he would have shaken my hand, like just like, bother, like, hey, Bill, and just turn around and just like to get the guy to stop and shake hands and walk away. Like he had no.
But I also think that's after the loss too. I would take more stock in what was the if there was any the conversation before the game, because if you don't like somebody, you're not even going to talk to him before the game.
How about this from MSN on Twitter? Belichick's handshake with O'Brien couldn't have been colder. I agree.
Yeah, it was pretty cold.
That was icy.
But get me the video of them before
you
the game.
You applaud, by the way.
I have zero problem with
it. I know.
I'm just pointing it up. You don't need to be friends with the other coach. What the hell? Why would you want to be?
Let's get back to the calls at 617-779-7937. Peter's in JP. Hey, Peter.
Hey, guys. There's basically four things I think have been discussed with the Patriots offense passing. Brady's lost a step, okay? Brady's injured. Bad offensive line or lack of weapons, okay? The first three we can't really do anything about.
How about play calling? Would you not add that to the list?
Well, no. Well, maybe, but those are the four that have been the most.
I guess I'm trying not to take Josh McDaniels off the hook here either.
Okay, well, add him to the list, okay? But the one thing you can definitely do is give him more weapons, and that's to sign Antonio Brown. I do not see the downside.
There is no downside.
You're preaching to the choir here.
Right, there's no downside.
Peter, what you can say that there's no downside. The owner doesn't want him on his team.
Well, the owner doesn't.
He doesn't want him on his team.
But, the owner
that's,
can
that's
to
the
throw.
End.
All his teammates love him. He's not a locker room cancer. Everyone loves the guy in the locker room.
Peter, the owner doesn't want him on his team.
Does he not want to win the Super Bowl?
Well, I mean,
I think he would rather not win the Super Bowl than win it with him, which, as a fan, I disagree with completely.
Right.
But I think that's him. If you own the team, you have the right to make that decision. But we also have the right to disagree with it.
Right. He's definitely going to have, if they lose and they don't win a Super Bowl and they lose and the offense struggles and the passing game struggles, there's definitely going to be Robert Kraft where people go, man, he had his hand in the Patriots losing.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to have a percentage of that. It is what it is.
And if you want to add to it, it could also be what ultimately pushes Brady out of town. Because why would he want to return with the same group? And
well,
I know there's always some
but
changes, how would you know it would be much different? How do you know it would be much
better? Well, next year I think what you'd have to do, and you'd have to see if you could get Odell Beckham. I'm banking
you'd have
on
to do something like that.
Yeah, that's what I'm
that
banking on.
That would be the only way to entice him, because I don't think it could be another year where we're like, we'll figure it out. Why would I come back for this?
No.
But N'Keal Harry will be really good his second year.
Just show him the OTAs and play pass with
before
N'Keal.
He signs his deal, it's, did you get
who
Beckham?
Who we get, right.
Is Beckham on the contract?
Right.
Did you trade for him? That's what it's going to be next year.
So unless they get Odell Beckham Jr., Brady's going to walk.
Well, I mean, somebody of his caliber.
Somebody like that. Yeah. Right? It doesn't have to
Are there a lot of guys of his caliber available?
I'm
five.
Yeah, I mean, Odell.
Available?
Oh, Antonio Brown's available.
Right, yep. Odell, you might
Beckham
be able to trade
probably
for.
Probably could be available.
Right. Maybe you could trade. I mean, who are some of the top receivers in the league that you look
Atlanta's
at?
Atlanta's probably not dealing Julio
Jones.
Yeah,
Atlanta's probably not dealing Julio Jones. Michael Thomas is not going anywhere. Maybe you might be able to get Mike Evans. You know, maybe Tampa's willing to trade him.
Right.
I mean, you got to go out. Keenan Allen is another guy with the Chargers. You have to make a push before the draft and go, hey, you know what? We'll give up our first-round draft pick and another draft pick for Keenan Allen, for Mike Evans, where a team is going, you know, we're in the rebuilding process anyways. What do we need these guys for?
Josh is in Falmouth. Hey, Josh.
Hey, what's going on, Mom? I heard you guys talking earlier. I'm a little behind, but you guys talking about earlier about the beginning of this season when we had Josh Gordon and Antonio Brown, that they weren't really, you know, putting up the stats. But
we only had them together for one game.
No, I understand. But even before that, when you just had Josh Gordon, he didn't put all the stats up. But he did one thing. He drew corners to him, which didn't put the double cover on Edelman, which is Brady's number one target. You don't have anyone right now that is a threat to a defense to draw away from Edelman. That's where you're struggling right now, is because Brady's favorite target has two guys sitting on him. There's a couple times last night where there was three guys sitting right next to him. And Brady's not comfortable. We've seen it for years, and it takes Brady time to get comfortable with his wide receivers, which is why N'Keal Harry and Jacoby Myers aren't huge factors in the game, is because Brady's not comfortable with them. It's been a factor for years, and you're not going to get Edelman wide open. If you don't have someone like Antonio Brown, which is sitting waiting for a phone call right here, right now, from Robert Kraft to come back to this team.
I mean, you can keep wishing and hoping all you want. Robert Kraft doesn't want him on his team.
He
fired him. He hasn't brought him back.
And he did that, but he's going to have to potentially live with that on his legacy.
His legacy will suffer something fierce.
No, it's not going to suffer
anything.
He's
already done that.
Yeah, it's not going to suffer anything fierce, but it's just part. You know, everybody has a legacy, and there are always parts of it that you go, man, if they would have had this, that's going to be part of the conversation. Rather than, oh, they got their seventh Super Bowl victory, it's going to be, why didn't they get their seventh Super Bowl victory? The same way that Belichick has on his legacy the Malcolm Butler Super Bowl. That is always going to be something that's going to be part of it.
And he's still considered the best coach who ever lived.
But we're not saying that. But you could have had your seventh Super Bowl going for your eighth Super Bowl.
Well, if you assume they win with Malcolm Butler, fine.
Which I believe they would have. The same way I believe if they had Antonio Brown, if this offense had Antonio Brown, Julian Edelman, Philip Dorsett, and Mohamed Sanu, and James White, I would be happy with that.
Oh yeah, and so would Brady. And the numbers would turn around. They absolutely would.
All Sanu's those guys job would be easier.
Philip Dorsett would go back to doing what he needs to do, which is just have the defense forget about you, catch a deep pass, and score a touchdown. They'd be significantly better.
617-779-7937 is the telephone number. What else you got is coming up about quarter of thereabouts. We'll get right back to the calls with you after we trend.
Now back to Dale and Keith.
Let's go.
These people are dysfunctional. WEEI.
Somehow I picture this being the beat in the Christmas ditty that you and
Wiggy
are going to be.
We're going to be going in and out of genres, though.
Way more sensual.
Yeah. Oh yeah. It's going to be
Shime. I don't want Shime singing it then.
It's going to be a nice talking about. Oh yeah.
Really going to get smoky.
Smoky?
Wow, so it's more of a standards.
I think it's going to be a
genre.
Very bluesy, jazzy, maybe.
It sounds like more of a standards. More of
standards.
Something Sinatra would sing.
No. More like Louisiana. We want like that New Orleans jazzy feel.
Oh, but you like X-rated.
Exactly.
More like the New Orleans.
It's going to start out like this. People are going to just immediately take their pants off.
They are just going to start sweating.
Yeah.
Whoa.
What?
Take
you
your
want
pants
this to
off
be
and
a
start
hit,
sweating?
Dale? Yeah.
I mean, that
well,
was. I'm sort of melding yours and his points.
Well, yeah, but I think
so. It's like, Merry Christmas.
Yeah, that's how it starts.
Save like that. That's the beginning.
Uh-huh. You like how that? It's a little jazz feel.
Mm-hmm. Really get that rift in there right there.
It's crazy.
Oh, yeah. Take the bass line for a walk.
Christmas yeah. time. Uh-huh.
It's like a yo-yo. Walk that dog.
Yay, yay, yay. I'm in the air.
Other than the word Christmas, I don't sense a lot of Christmas to this song.
Well, there were snowflakes.
Okay, there. Yeah, we're good now.
You don't need a...
Use the back door on the gingerbread house.
There you go. Use that little, like that little B.B.
Like
King.
That's not bad, right?
A number of texters wanted to know back if you're somehow, if you're going to include house. Black mac and cheese in the lyrics.
Oh,
yeah, that,
oh I had some. Not bad. I had some when you dropped off. That was good.
He want that black mac and cheese. He's a Christmas time.
Not bad. I think, and then once we get this hit, we can put it on the radio. That'll be easy. We know a guy.
Yeah, we know
and
a guy.
And then people hear it, they want to cover it.
Right.
And then we just cash in all the residuals.
I mean, they made a song about the Grinch.
Yeah.
Basically, the guy's talking the whole song.
Oh, he's great. He's got insults.
You remember the Grinch song?
The Grinch song is one of the best songs going.
Yes.
Stank.
Right. So, I mean, that, I like the jazz feel to it.
That's good.
Like, when you hear our song, you're going to feel the snowflakes like, touching your
skin. Oh, my God.
Skin.
It is Christmas morning. That's how you're going to feel.
Smell the Christmas tree.
Oh, nice. Without your pants on and sweat.
No, pants gone. Long gone. Those jammies. Too hot, these jammies. I'm going to take these pants off for a while. And then we need to get it into a movie, probably.
We can,
because that helps. Because then it's synonymous with that movie.
We get
well, when we make the Wiggy biopic, it'll be the theme song. To
well,
the movie.
In that too. I was thinking more like Bad Santa 3.
Okay,
you know,
Season of the Witch,
where he's sitting in the bar and you hear it in the background because it's like he's in the jazz bar.
Oh,
now.
I like, that's not bad.
You know,
yeah, he goes up to the jukebox. He specifically picks out our song, plays that song,
like has a Fonzie moment, and it just plays our song.
Yeah. All right, we gotta start writing this thing.
I got it. I'm keeping all these notes back here.
Can we turn it around in time for tomorrow?
I think we can do something.
Karaoke
with it.
Tuesday. We could do it on original.
But that'd be pretty impressive.
Do you want to know the name of the guy who sings this song? Because it's one of the great names ever.
I have no idea who sings this song. I've heard this a million times.
Thurl Ravenscroft.
That's not bad.
I mean,
he played goalie for the Bruins?
Yeah.
You have to have a voice like
it's
that.
It's not Andrew Raycroft. It's Thurl Ravenscroft.
Could have had a deep voice.
Yeah.
See, this is good. We put a little. We might be able to do a little jazziness off
of
something.
Then kind of go a little up-tempo.
Saxophone can really hit so many different.
You need a good
sax. Nice alto sax.
And you need a harmonica.
Oh, yeah.
Shime, I do have one down note here from a texter.
Oh, well, take it with a
course.
Down note.
There we go.
It
says, great picks Thursday and Sunday. Shime cost me $150. Stick to karaoke.
Oh, no.
Tell him we
don't
got a new song
Shime
coming.
I don't know how I cost him that much money. I mean, Tennessee hit, and they hit hard.
How'd you do on the other two picks?
One of them was a parlay that
didn't go so well.
Right? Yeah. Listen,
and the Arizona one, I could not have been more wrong.
But the Tannissance is real.
The Tannissance
is so
real.
Get on board now. The Tannissance is real. You hit Tennessee real strong.
And you know what?
Makes up for the other picks.
Last.
Did you tell people to bet more Frapples on Tennessee than
of course
other
I did. I said bet the house.
More Frapples.
Wow, Tennessee did it.
You bet the house? That was the house bet?
That was the house.
Weren't
100%.
They down, though? They were down early.
I'm
6-3
in the
game,
and
right?
three in the last 3 weeks, guys. Come on.
Six
I'm winning
three,
you money.
You are getting money.
So I'm driving up to New Hampshire Saturday, and I'm listening to Mark and Hart, as I would do anyway when they're on.
Yeah.
And I'm driving, and I hear Mark James go, oh, update. Michigan just scored, and the guy who took Michigan an 8.5 is feeling pretty good about himself.
Why would you bet Michigan? Why would you ever bet Michigan against Ohio State?
Ohio State is a wagon.
Right.
If it's a big game, Jim Harbaugh, he going to lose it.
You're right. He's 0-1.
And Ohio State is rolling. Ohio State is incredible.
I think Harbaugh is 0-5 against Michigan or something like that.
Or against Ohio State.
Against Ohio State.
He was a little salty post-game.
Oh,
please. Well, that's because the guy asked him, what do you think is the, you think it's the talent?
What's the difference between
the talent?
Questions, but not your insults.
Well, is it the coach?
Bite me.
I hate Ohio State, but I also like Ryan Day because he's a New Hampshire guy. Mm-hmm. So I kind of go back and forth. Than that one.
It's all Justin Fields, man.
Well, I don't know.
Georgia had him. Come on, Kirby.
He was the number one recruit in the country. Then they let him go.
They decided to stick with Jake Fromm, which, is not working out for them.
Nope.
When you could have had...
Jacob Eason, too. The kid
that's right. You had him,
better,
too. Yeah, I believe this, man.
There's your college football minute.
And BC fired their coach.
Yeah. You gonna put your name in the hat, will you, Coach PC?
I would definitely do
that. I assume Diossi's already got his name
probably.
In there.
Or Diossi's probably going to be the guy who picks the next head coach.
Yeah. Well, they're saying one of the front runners could be Don Brown, the defensive coordinator for Michigan, who was at BC before he left Michigan and does a really good job with his defense.
Only allowed 56 to the Buckeyes.
Well, that's the Buckeyes.
Wiggy, if you need a stats and analytics all-tape guy, I'm your guy.
Yeah, I'm definitely
going to be the all-tape guy.
All-tape guy. Yeah. I will watch the all-22s until they become all-66s.
Sean can text you on the sideline and be like, right now you have a 44% chance.
We need
of
John Harbaugh has that.
I was gonna say, you could be that guy.
You could be my mix of Ernie Adams and John Harbaugh's guy.
Oh, that's good.
I'm all in.
Shines your eyes in the sky.
We're never gonna lose.
Yeah, he's like, you might want to challenge this one, Jermaine.
I do like the Jim Harbaugh go for it on fourth down. I gotta admit, I do like, but you need that quarterback to do it.
You gotta have the right quarterback. Their quarterback's not any good.
Because he runs it on third and six, they were talking about it in the San Francisco game.
Oh, you're talking about John Harbaugh's quarterback.
John Harbaugh. Not Jim Harbaugh. I'm sorry.
John Harbaugh. Much better than Jim.
I like John's a lot more.
The Baltimore Harbaugh.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, they'll run it on third and six.
Because
and
they know they're
going to
go
for and
fourth
run it
two.
Again.
And that's why I'm basically off the San Francisco. I never was on
you
the San
You weren't on it.
I still think San Francisco.
Best team in the NFL is?
The Niners. The best team in the NFL.
It's not even a thinker. It's not a trick question. It's the Baltimore Ravens, and it has been 4 weeks. It's not Tennessee, although they're gaining ground. Maybe the fastest rising team in the power rankings.
With a bullet.
But best team in the
wait until the Tennessee Titans beat the Saints.
Best team in the NFL, New Orleans Saints.
Okay, I'm glad you brought up the New Orleans Saints.
Because
you're always crying foul for Tom Brady's weapons, right?
Yes.
So if you have Julian Edelman, great player, you have Michael Thomas.
Ooh, like Michael Thomas.
Who's the second best wide receiver on the Saints?
Who's the second best wide receiver on the Saints?
That was
the
question.
I don't know.
Who is?
I'm asking you.
I know this. I would much rather him over the second best wide receiver on the Patriots.
You don't even know who he is.
I don't need to know. That's kind of the point.
It's not the point. I don't
well,
need.
Well, it's my point.
The point is, I know what the Pats have.
Because you just say that everybody, you and like Peter King are saying the Patriots have nobody and all these other teams are loaded. They're loaded. You think the Saints are the best team in the league?
I know.
And that's fine. But you don't even know who their second receiver is.
I know what the Pats have. Right? Do we even have a Yaba come on?
They don't have a Yaba come on. They don't. They have Michael Thomas, who's setting records. And then they have Alvin Kamara, who's awesome. He's also a running back.
I like
and
Alvin
they throw
Kamara.
To him like they throw to James White.
Yep.
Who's the third option?
The third option
on the New Orleans,
Saints.
Who's the best team in the league?
I would take him.
I will tell you who it is.
I know who it is. I mean,
based on receptions,
I'll take him.
Tight end Jared Cook.
I would take Jared Cook over anybody that the Pats have here. And the Pats were trying to make a run
but
to get Jared.
But just think about that. If Jared Cook is their third option, it's not like he is just loaded with all these
But I've never said that you needed to be loaded with those guys. You just need a second. You don't have a second option.
James White's
the second option.
In fact, Taysom Hill might even be coming more of an option, and he's a quarterback. But I mean,
he's like a special team.
Yeah,
he's a Swiss Army knife.
You've got Ted Ginn.
I would rather Ted Ginn over anybody they have.
No,
really?
I would.
Not before the season. You're saying that now.
You're saying,
if Ted Ginn and Mohamed Sanu were both available, you would say, give me Ted Ginn?
At the beginning of the season.
Or midseason, whenever. Just not this.
I was on the Mohamed Sanu boat.
Okay.
I was on that train, but I did want Emmanuel Sanders first.
If Ginn is better than Philip Dorsett, and I'm not even sure that he is. If he is, it's slightly.
Yeah, minuscule.
Well, I would rather have. You asked this question. Would you rather have Ted Ginn or Philip Dorsett? I'd rather have Ted Ginn.
I know.
Ted Ginn's got 24 catches this year and 2 touchdowns.
Yeah, but I would rather have him than Philip Dorsett.
When they go Michael Thomas, Alvin Kamara, that duo is better than Edelman and White, but it's not this enormous gap. Again, unless if we're being consistent here.
You keep stopping.
Why am I stopping?
You stop.
I'm continuing the conversation. We're here till 2.
You stop after Alvin Kamara.
When they roll out Michael
Thomas. Alvin Kamara.
That's two guys again.
Jared Cook. Would you rather have Jared Cook than
Mohamed Sanu?
No, than Lacoste.
Why is it Lacoste? It's just the third option.
Okay,
third
would you option. Rather have Jared Cook as your third option?
Jared Cook is averaging 3.2 catches a game.
Would you?
He's
I would
lighten the world on fire.
I'd rather two games.
I'd rather have
32 catches.
I'd rather have Josh
games.
Gordon.
Tell
than Jared
me what.
Cook.
Tell me what. Lacoste is averaging Ben Watson a game.
It's unfair to compare.
No, it's not unfair.
The Patriots tight end stink.
What are you asking me?
I know. We're not doing tight end to tight end. We're doing third option option. But, so Jared Cook's the third option.
Okay.
So would you rather have Sanu to throw to or Jared Cook?
I'd rather have Jared Cook.
I know. Cause of course you would for the sake of this argument.
Well, no. Because the tight end works well in this offense. I'd rather have Jared Cook work in the seam like we saw one catch from LaCosse yesterday. When I look
now
at...
We have a texter who says, I'd take Traquan Smith over anybody.
Over anybody?
He's played, the Patriots. He's played in 7 games. He's got 9 catches. Let's not
Those
go sloppy here.
Those are 9 big catches, Dale.
He's got 9 catches in 7 games.
I'm just trying to point out that the Saints, which you say are the best team in the league, their skill position guys...
is better than yours.
If they are, it's very slight.
It's not very slight.
Because of Michael Thomas. Because Thomas is a beast. But again...
Edelman is a top receiver. You're talking about Michael Thomas.
A good player?
Michael Thomas is probably the best receiver in the league right now.
He's like the best stats. I don't know if he's the best receiver in the
league. In the league right now.
He's in the top
right now.
3.
Right now.
I know Antonio Brown's not in there.
No.
Him, Hopkins,
but
and
you tell me
Jones.
But you tell me what that Lamar Jackson is the best quarterback in the league right now. Basing it off this.
Russell Wilson. I'm a big Russell Wilson guy.
Oh, my God.
You know that.
Wait a second.
What do you mean, oh, my God?
You're flip-flop.
Or is it?
I thought it was Lamar Jackson.
No.
Right now,
he's the MVP.
This year.
We would accuse Wiggy of flip-flopping, but it would mean having to actually change an opinion.
Yeah, I don't know.
Which he's never done.
No. Right now, this season, Michael Thomas is the best receiver in the league, right?
Yes.
Thank you, Sean. Yes.
All right,
okay.
Fine.
So you're talking about the best
but
receiver
is Edelman
in the league.
Any good?
Edelman is really good. I'm not taking nothing away from him at all.
I know, but I'm just saying. So Edelman and Thomas would cancel each other out, although I will admit Thomas is better.
Okay.
Thomas is better.
Okay.
And just like White and Kamara, Kamara's better,
right.
But White's in the mix. And then 3, 4, 5, 6 are all
You make
similar
it sound like 3, 4, 5, 6 is similar. No.
Yes,
stop
they are.
That. No, come on.
Yes,
Rich.
They are.
Stop.
Cook,
it.
Ginn.
I would rather.
You couldn't even name them a minute
I would,
ago.
I
How
would,
good are
I
they?
I would rather their three, because I know what my 3, 4, I know what my 3, 4, 5 is. And I know what that is.
So you would
my
take,
three, four,
you would take
five
literally
is,
anybody else. You would take Shime, John, and me over anybody on the
you
Patriots.
You know what? I would really consider that over Sanu, Dorsett, and Harry or Myers. I would consider you, Anderson, and Shime. Me throw Dale
Jones. When you have Michael Thomas, you could probably roll out with Papa Smurf and Dopey and Sneezy from the Seven Dwarfs and be okay.
So Traquan Smith has 9 catches and 2 touchdowns, but they were 9 very big catches.
Two scores.
Philip Dorsett's got 28 catches and 5 touchdowns.
I don't know about Traquan Smith.
I'm talking about
Ted Ginn Jr. I would rather have Ted Ginn than Philip Dorsett. I don't care what you say. That's me personally.
Okay, so Ted Ginn Jr.'s got 24 catches, 2 touchdowns.
Yeah.
Philip Dorsett's got 28 catches, 5 touchdowns.
Right, I know what you're talking about. I know
Ted
the numbers.
Ginn giving
because
you
that, I think,
that Philip Dorsett doesn't
I think
give you?
When you look at, in this offense.
Oh, wait, if you use your eyes and if you.
No. In this offense.
Look at the all 22s.
In this offense. I think he would be a better weapon for Brady and this because Ted Ginn is a guy that can.
By the way, Ted Ginn's played 2 more games than Dorsett has. Yes. Has fewer catches, fewer touchdowns.
I know, you keep
but
giving me the numbers.
But you'd rather
get
have
off the
Ginn.
Stats. Yes, I'd rather have
Based
Ginn.
Based on what?
In this offense. I just told you.
Oh, in this offense.
You asked for a home run.
He would do
this,
what?
This world-beating offense.
No. You asked for a guy, when you're talking about a guy, you asked for a home run hitter, right? Ted Ginn, that's kind of what he is. He's a poor man's version of DeSean Jackson. I'd rather that than a guy who only runs comeback routes and catch, and that's what Philip Dorsett is.
See, I'd rather a guy who gets into the end zone and makes catches, which
Philip
Dorsett does better than Ginn.
Well, Ginn would, if he was here, get in the end zone.
He's got a pretty good quarterback throwing to him, you know.
If he was here, get in the end zone.
A quarterback who's playing better than yours is.
Well, when you look at the touchdowns, the way that they throw the football, Michael Thomas, Jared Cook, I would rather, besides Edelman, you don't have a number two. That you don't. And stop lying and saying you do.
Well, you suddenly made Jared Cook into the next Rob Gronkowski.
I didn't say he's the next
on another team.
See what you and Dale. I mean, what you and Rich are doing here.
We're refuting you with facts.
No, it's not facts.
Oh.
But you're being fraudulent to say that you would rather have. You wouldn't rather you would.
I would rather have Michael Thomas, but I'm
absolutely
just saying,
all of us
would. Would you want Jared Cook?
I would want to have, yes, you don't have a tight end. So, yes.
Okay. So then your answer.
But you said you'd rather have Ted Ginn than Philip Dorsett, and I don't know what you're basing it on.
Would you? Okay. Would you rather have Ted? Don't look at the numbers. Would you rather have Ted Ginn or Philip Dorsett?
Philip Dorsett.
Man, you're lying.
I don't even care. Like, they're wipe them out. They're about the same. Right? Is my point.
And I would say Ted Ginn's a little bit better.
Mohamed Sanu should be more productive than Jared Cook. Should be. I mean, he hasn't. Sanu stinks. No. He stinks. But I just think that if you're just, forget stats for a second, if you're just looking at players and you're
looking at players,
who would you rather have?
Who would I rather have? That's it. Forget about the stats.
That's all I'm worried
who
about.
Who I think would be good in this offense. I think Jared Cook would be better than what you have.
What else you got's coming up next? Sports Radio WEEI.
Getting you through your workday, it's Dale and Keefe on WEEI.
All right, let's squeeze in a couple of things that we didn't get to earlier in the show.
What else you got?
Wiggy.
All right, so the best coach in the NFL decided to wear a T-shirt that said Pittsburgh started it after the whole Pittsburgh Cleveland Browns fiasco, and that would be Freddie Kitchens.
The T-shirt didn't have anything to do with this at the minus one move. I wore a T-shirt. I wore a jacket with it. My daughters wanted me to wear the shirt, and I'd wear it again. I put a jacket on, I covered it up, I took a picture with a fan. That was as simple as that, you know. T-shirt didn't cause us to give up 40-yard passes, and we were ready to play. That's the only thing people need to be concerned about. We were ready to play.
Golly.
So do you think that's smart of your coach
no, it's not.
To wear a shirt that says, you know, obviously he's Cleveland Browns coach, the Myles Garrett situation happens. And he wears a shirt that says Pittsburgh started it as you're getting ready to obviously play the Pittsburgh Steelers.
So dumb. You had a guy on your team hit another guy with in the head with a helmet.
Right.
With his helmet.
Right.
And you're like, no, oh, they started it.
Well, that's why he's going to get coach of the year.
And
that's why he's going to get fired.
It would have been a bigger deal, but Pittsburgh didn't even play Mason Rudolph. They played Duck Hodges, right, who goes out there and beats them. Cleveland is just, they still had a chance to make a playoff run, and they blew it yesterday.
What else you got?
Rich.
Well, Bart Scott, of course, played in the NFL for a long time. Bart Scott is
at the highest level.
Yeah, he's in the media now. He covers the league. He knows a lot about the league, right? Well, he was talking about the Patriots' chances of getting to the Super Bowl if they had to go on the road.
And you look at the field goal, you know, Forbath missing the field goal, putting behind the sticks. Now, yeah, we know Nick Folk may come back. But listen, their path to the Super Bowl, especially, you know, we know what it is if they don't host throughout. You know, they've never made a Super Bowl when they had to go on the road at any point. Huh? So it's going to be interesting to see.
Well,
did anybody jump in?
Okay, that's not true. No.
Nobody jumped in and
corrected
him?
It's happened not once, not twice, but thrice, in fact. Yes. Three Super Bowl trips going on the road. 0-1, Wiggy, you were there.
Yeah.
You beat Pittsburgh on the road. 0-4, beat Pittsburgh on the road. Maybe you forgot those. Those were a long time
ago. Yeah, that's
a
long time ago.
How about last year? Did you watch that game?
Oh, yeah, that game was in Kansas City, wasn't it?
They were the
I don't think you watched
seed.
That game.
I guess not. How do you forget that one? It just happened.
Well, maybe he just, you know, maybe he's not a huge fan of football.
Maybe not. Maybe he's like, I wait to the Super Bowl. I don't watch the road to the Super Bowl.
Did anybody correct him?
Did anybody jump in there? I don't think so. That was the show that Nick Wright was on. I think they were just like,
he was afraid Bart would beat him up.
But isn't it like appropriate to
you should jump in and be like, well, that did happen last year, Bart. Bart, it did happen last year.
Well, oh, did it?
Never mind.
Wait a second.
Well, it's going to be tough. It's going to be tough for them then.
I usually meant to say it's tough for them to win on the road. Like,
okay. What else you got?
So today at 5:30, Bill Belichick will join OMF live at Gillette Stadium.
Can't wait.
If you've been watching this NFL 100-year team, you know, they're naming the best players of all time. Nobody has ever had a better time doing anything than Bill Belichick has had doing this. And especially when he can tell stories about Lawrence Taylor.
We had our team meetings every Saturday night, 9:00. There was no team meeting, just offense and defense. So, you know, the players would, you know, come in, mingle around, and then offense, defense go into separate rooms and have our meetings. So I take the defense and, you know, we get about, like, you know, LT's not there. We get about 5-6 minutes into the meeting. He walks in. So, of course, the whole team sees he's, you know, a few minutes late. So we finished the meeting, and afterwards I go over to Coach Parcells and said, well, I just want to let you know LT was, you know, a few minutes late for the meeting. Looks at me like, yeah? So, well, just thought you don't want to know. Well, why'd you start the meeting before he got there?
That's classic.
That's pretty good.
Bill's got the best stories. I have to give him credit. I've heard a lot of, you know, some of his stories as far as, like, about players and things of that.
Oh, he's like a different person, though, in that environment.
Oh, man, the stories.
You know, he loves this thing.
Yeah. Football history.
LT was in.
Yeah.
Hey, if you missed any of today's show, remember you can listen to the entire program on the radio.com app using the rewind feature. Text APP to 37937 to download. Standard message and data rates may apply. Wiggy, you're in with Greg tomorrow?
Yeah, I'm in with Greg in the morning.
OMF is live at Gillette Stadium. Bill Belichick with them at 5:30. Steve DiAsi will join us tomorrow. We'll see you later. Bye.
Do we even have a yabba? Come on.
That's all, folks.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.